Welcome to the Creative Hustler Show, the podcast where we interview the best artists in the animation and illustration community, creative professionals, animators, illustrators, directors, and more. This is the show aimed at giving you, the creative professionals, the knowledge to become better at being an artist and a pro. Now, here's your host, Rodrigo Flamenco.
Please, click the subscribe button and the notification icon. It will help us a lot.
Hi. This is Rodrigo from Frame Freak Studio, and this is the Creative Hustler Show. Today, guest, I'm really happy to have here Ivan Mendoza. Now, he is an illustrator and a character designer who has worked in a lot of amazing projects. So just to give you an example of a couple of them, he has been designing characters from DreamWorks Animation TV. Also, previously, he worked in the Star Wars industry that produced the HBO show Animals, and he was working in Warner Bros. Animation on the production of Bunicula and Be Cool Scooby-Doo, which airs on Cartoon Network. Ivan has also been part of developing undisclosed projects for Warner Brothers that we cannot talk about, and Tom and Jerry as well. Pretty much he has worked on Fox, Nickelodeon, Teen Mouse, Social Gaming Network, and he has a lot of experience that he can help us with to navigate on how to become a better creative professional. So I'm really happy to have him here. And without any further ado, welcome, Ivan.
Hey, Rodrigo. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So to get us started, and for the people who do not know about you, can you tell us a little bit more about your history? How did you get started into arts, and how did you choose to pretty much follow this path?
How did I get started? I feel like I got started just like anybody else. Like, I started drawing like at an early age, which is something that I hear almost often from anybody in the industry. I didn't really know exactly what it is that I wanted to do like at an early age, aside from just like, oh, I really love to draw. I totally thought I was going to actually be a businessman. At one point, I was actually a salesperson. In the time of actually being a salesperson, I was actually still continuously drawing over and over again, just at regular coffee shops. During that time, I actually wanted to go into animation. And so I hear a lot of stories about it either being really stable or really unstable. And then so that type of rumor that I heard was really like either pushing me away from wanting to do it or just kind of giving it up, giving my all and just kind of going after it. And so after like years of actually just trying to figure out what it is I wanted to do, I finally just decided just to go ahead and go into animation. And then I started back in 2009, actually, and then so I left my sales career at the beginning of 2009, and then after that, shortly after, I got into animation.
Nice, nice. And coming back to this sales position, I have to, well, I think we kind of went a little bit backwards here, because for me, I wanted to become more like an animator kind of stuff, but because of my country, I didn't have any research where I could actually study that. I went right a little bit into system engineer and then into business a lot, and now pretty much doing, I came full circle, starting a business doing animation. So in your case, I think I have found a lot of lessons in entrepreneurship and in sales, but in your case, what are the lessons or what are the principles that you have learned through your sales career that you feel that have helped you a lot now being a creative professional?
I think when I was actually in sales and how it actually applies to what it is that I do now, I think if anything, what benefits it's given me is that I'm able to just like communicate, almost kind of like sell the idea of what it is that I can do instead of just like talking about it. And then so you kind of almost come off with a sense of confidence in what it is that you're trying to present and everything like that. And then so in that sense, I feel like it's a lot more, it's beneficial for me to be able to go ahead and do that just because of the sales experience that I had previously.
Nice. Yeah, because I think, and this is something that I have found that has a lot of, let's say, benefit or give you an insane advantage over other people. I think that on this side, maybe Hollywood movies and all this kind of industry has invented this archetype of the salesman who is like very sassy, very sneaky, and that has created this image that when you talk to people, most people, no matter what industry they are in, they don't like the idea of selling. However, when I started learning about that and learning about the principles of selling, like it has nothing to do with, let's say, the Wolf of Wall Street, for example. And I never use any technique like that. But if you know the basics of selling, it can give you a tremendous advantage over people who do not know the basics of selling. And I'm not even close to be like an amazing salesman or anything like it. But I do feel that I'm doing much better than many of my friends who are putting their business inside the creative industry or outside even. And if they don't know these principles, I see them struggling, getting new projects, getting new jobs, things like that. On the other hand, I can see that this thing is useful for a lot of areas on life, because it's about, okay, understanding the other person, what is the goal that they are trying to achieve, trying to put yourself as a solution to this goal. Like, that is very different from the perspective of, oh, I'm going to manipulate this guy into hiring me or buying from me or something like that. Like, it has nothing to do with that. And on that end, how do you think it has helped you to stand out from other creative people, like when trying to get projects, when trying to get jobs?
I don't know if it's actually given me the advantage to actually stand out. There's a lot of people that's out there that really don't need to do anything in regards to almost getting a job just because their artwork is just so phenomenal and all this other stuff. And then so...
Yeah, I think in this industry that happens as well when it is easy in this industry for your work to speak for yourself, right?
Right. I mean, like when I was trying to get back into the industry back in 2009, I worked at Six Point and then I worked at Titmouse for a little bit of time. And then I had a little bit of time off. And in that time off, I was thinking to myself, oh, this is that part where it's completely unstable. I actually ended up getting an interview at Neopets. I don't know if anybody's... Oops, excuse me. Something's falling over. But I actually ended up getting an interview for Neopets back in 2009. And I didn't know what kind of competition I was trying to... what I was going up against. And then so in the interview, I was really just trying to overcome a lot of objections that the people that were interviewing me at the time and everything. And then so I was just doing the best I can. And then so in that sense, I feel like that with the experience as a salesperson, I was able to kind of just address those objections that they had or anything or any concerns that they might have had and everything. So I think in that sense, I would assume that that's one part that I would have probably stood out, because if I hadn't had that experience and they had those concerns, I don't know if I would have even addressed them, or after I would have just maybe just kind of like put them off to the side. And then afterwards, when the interview was over, just hoped that I would get the job. But since I was actually able to address the concerns and objections, I actually was able to get the job. And then thankfully, it actually lasted for like close to 5 years.
Nice. And yeah, when you see people, especially young people who are trying to get into the industry, and just to make it easy for you, trying to follow a similar path that you have chosen, what is the most common mistake that you see that they are making that they are not aware that they are making?
Got it.
I'm guilty of this very thing that I'm about to mention, is that as much as there is artwork that's so available to see in any platform, in Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, or anything really, is to follow what it is that you do, the style that you want to do. Just because when you see so much artwork, so much great artwork, I just can't help but feel like, oh my gosh, I want to do the same thing. And so in those cases, I want to almost do the same thing. And each time I try, I never get it to almost as good as how they do it. And then so that's the common mistake that I've seen people do and what I've done. And then more recently, I just came to discover that I just need to be more honest and sincere. And I feel like this, I would give this advice to anybody, is that just to be honest and sincere on what it is that you do and what kind of art that you want to make. Because I feel like that if you are honest and sincere with the artwork that you would want to make, then it's almost, I feel like that the variety of artwork that would be out would just be just broader, because no one's trying to go for or trying to do the current cool style of what's getting 1,000 likes on Instagram or anything, you know. So that's what I feel like is really important, is that just to really focus on being honest with what kind of art you want to do. And
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard, like you say, it's definitely hard, because when you're seeing all this kind of art, especially now that we have access to all of it, like you can see art from people from Australia, from Europe, from South America, like everywhere. At least for my end, I felt the question of how is somebody supposed to create a new style? Because everything is already being done. But then you see something different and it's like, oh, yeah, like everything has not been done yet, right?
Right. It's hard to not try to emulate somebody's style, Ronald Searle or Al Hirschfeld, Hank Ketchum, or any artist that's really popular these days, that anybody might be into. But it's just more just to actually just take it as influence and not copy it, like not to copy their style almost identically, just because when you begin to copy it almost identically, then again, you're almost not being honest with how you want to do your artwork. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I feel like it's important to try to go ahead and do that. I haven't posted any artwork recently. I actually just checked last night that last time I posted something was on the 1st of October. And since I came to this realization, I would just actually just been weary on posting, just because I need to figure out what it is that I want to do before actually going back onto social media. At least with art and stuff. Don't get me wrong, I still look at other people's artwork and I'm just like, wow, that's really great. And I'm just like, wow, okay, one day. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and something that I've been exploring in the last episodes, in the last interviews, is the concept of being able to achieve things now that you have touched social media. And since Instagram has been gaining strength in the last year, if we go to see the metrics of how many people are using Instagram now and all that, I think the last year has been crazy when it comes to that platform. But also on the other side, I've seen friends of mine who are artists who have become crazy with the Instagram thing, and they are trying to just create drawings to kind of get likes over Instagram, and kind of get a lot of reaction. And I think that is a really, I think that is a dangerous trap, because it can make you feel like you are advancing, that you are doing something great. And of course, sometimes good things happen that way, because if you get enough followers, then you kind of maybe have the chance to get discovered or get some work for on your end. But on the most side, like if I talking with the people doing this show, talking with you, talking to many other artists, I see that most like almost 99% of the cases, you were able to get these jobs, you were able to get into these works because you applied to them. And I see, and this is something that I told my friends, because they still think, I think there is this myth inside the creative industry that if you post enough work on the internet and things like that, somehow you're going to be discovered and get to work in these companies. And then I go to my friend, no, the people who has worked in these companies have, I know people who have applied 17 times to the same company, to the same position, and they were being saying not because they were not good enough artists, but because they didn't have, like, the style that they had, it didn't match any of the projects they were working at the moment. And once the company had a project that matched the style of this artist, they got accepted and started working there. But again, like I have talked to people who have applied 12 times, 15 times, 17 times to Disney, to Pixar, things like that, like year after year, and that's how they got in. And so far, of all the interviews that I have done, not just for this podcast, but for the summit as well, I have only met like 3 people who got jobs because they posted on Instagram. Mm-hmm. On the other side, I see like people who have huge followings, like hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, and they have told me I haven't gotten a single job from the Instagram thing.
Okay.
On the other side, like they got the jobs because they apply. And I think that's getting trickier on Instagram, on the artist community, because many people have, well, you told me that you have taken some time off the social media game, and you are not the only artist who has told me that. Like Thomas Bluharty, he tells me that he goes into periods of time where he creates art that he promises himself that he's never going to post on social media. And there is a lot of, I think there is an important message to leave out there, that Instagram and social media is not everything, right?
I guess after you mentioned it, I guess it's not, just because, I mean, I hear the same things where people are getting jobs through Instagram, and then, don't get me wrong, like when I see people do that, I'm like, wow, that's really awesome. And then so that almost encourages me to want to try to build to get enough followers. So hopefully that actually happens for me one day. But as hard as I try, sometimes it just doesn't work. And that's okay, because I don't want to do things for the wrong reason. And so if anything, it's more encouraging that if I were to post anything, that I would actually just kind of just keep everything to the artwork that I want to do. And then so hopefully if it shows that, okay, I know that I already said this a couple times, that if, as long as I'm being honest with the artwork that I'm posting, then yeah, then hopefully, you know, recruiters or whomever it is that goes on to Instagram just likes him and just kind of just naturally grows and stuff. And then when it naturally grows, maybe it will actually lead to a job opportunity. And if it does it, and if it doesn't, that's fine. I'm okay sticking to either just networking or just doing it the old-fashioned way by applying.
Definitely. Yeah. And on your career, what was something that you never expected at all to come through, that did come through, and it's really important to know?
There is a lot of things, but there's one thing that I thought that I didn't think was important, but it really is. When you actually start working, you begin to think like, okay, I've already finished all my schooling. I finished all the figure drawing, life drawing it is that I need to do, all the studying and all this other stuff. But come to realize that in the time that I've been working, and the fact that I wasn't practicing as religiously as I used to before I started working really made me rusty and really like slowed down my productivity just because I wasn't doing it. And then so when I saw people like, oh, I'm going to go to figure drawing class, I'm already going to go to life drawing class and all this stuff, I'd be wondering to myself, I'm like, oh, but you're already working and all this stuff. And then so more so recently, I feel like, or the thing that I actually discovered to be true is that you just need to consistently always be practicing or always just be drawing, just because if you want to stay on top of your craft, and that's something that you need to consistently do. And when I wasn't doing it, I was just like, my artwork looks like a bunch of scribbles that, and obviously at the end it always turned out okay, but during the process it was just making the designs either not to the best quality. More so now, after I've been actually practicing more, going back to drawing religiously just for myself instead of just work, has made my abilities actually a little bit better.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is really important to know. On the other hand, what is something that you expected from the very beginning that was going to be true? And it's really important to know, being a creative professional.
From the very beginning?
Yeah.
Like, can you elaborate on it? Can you elaborate on the question?
So, for example, I have these moments when I was starting entrepreneurship, the company and all that, where I thought about things that I thought were going to be important, mm-hmm. but weren't in the end. On the other hand, there were things that I was thinking that they were going to be important, and they actually turned out to be important, but they even had more weight than what I expected. So what is some principle of knowledge that you were expecting to be pretty important in your career that ended up to be coming through, and that now that you know that it maybe is more, even more important than you initially thought?
Obviously, working in animation, obviously you have to know how to draw. So the technicalities of drawing is something that I feel like you should have a good grasp of. There's two things, right? So there's two things. One is the technicalities of drawing, and one is actually doing the acting and doing the performance and all this stuff in regards, or even the design for your drawing. If you're too focused on the technicality side, then the performance, the design, and I guess almost acting, which I feel like is the same as the performance, kind of takes away from it because you'd be too focused on the technical parts. I knew it was important to actually understand all the technical parts of drawing and everything. And then so that in itself, I feel, is still super important, just because if you don't have a good understanding of what that is, then it'll take it away from your designs. Because when you're doing designs, special poses and all these other things, you need to focus more on the actual design and the acting than you would the technical parts of drawing. And so that's what I feel like has still been super important in everything that I've done up till now.
Nice. Also, yeah. Something that I want to ask you, Have you ever had anything that felt like a failure, that in the moment felt horrible, felt bad, felt like, yeah, like it was a complete failure, but actually set you up for success in the future?
I don't think I've ever had like a favorite failure in my life. I don't think anybody really has. I mean, I've gotten bad grades in school. but like when it came to like art and everything, I think it was fine. But all joking aside, failing, I feel like failing is rough in every sense of the word. I think it's more how you come out of your failure. If you don't come out of your failure learning anything, then I feel like that you'll kind of almost consistently fail at that one thing over and over again until you actually do learn your lesson. And then so in certain cases, I'm not going to name any particular times on what it is that I did fail, just because it's nothing too pleasant to talk about. that if I hadn't learned from those experiences, then I feel like that I wouldn't be either as hardworking or as disciplined to try to get to what my goal would be. More recently, I was trying to figure out what my goal was, and then so there was times where I just wasn't really sure. And as I mentioned earlier, I actually like took a trip to San Francisco recently just to try to figure that out, just to kind of just have some me time and to just try to refocus on what it is that I wanted to do, just because sometimes you need to kind of step back in everything that you're doing before proceeding, because if you just proceed without knowing, then sometimes that in itself can lead up to failure. And you just want to either just try to avoid it as much as possible, or if you do fail, don't look at it as a negative. Just take it as a learning experience. And if it's taken as a learning experience, it kind of sometimes works to your advantage later on. And that's what I found it's been most helpful for me, is that as often as I've failed and it's sucked every time, it's looking back, it's been beneficial now. So am I glad that I had those failures? Yes and no. Like, no, obviously, because failing's not a great feeling. But yes, I'm kind of glad I did, because if I didn't have those failures, then I wouldn't be who it is I am now.
Definitely. And yeah. In those moments, I assume that looking at your schedule, like, trying to get into this interview was really hard because you have been very, very busy. But on that level of work, I think all of us feels a little bit overwhelmed, a bit burned. I'm just coming out of a massive burnout that I had a couple of months ago. And so whenever you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do to get back to your center?
Oh, man. Let's see. I was told this early on, but at the time when people would tell me what you would do when someone would either feel overwhelmed or unfocused, I totally thought it was the complete opposite, because I didn't think it would actually work. But the thing that I feel has worked, and I came to realize is true, is to either just like exercise or even just take walks, you know. I feel like that once you if you become too overwhelmed or even unfocused, like what I was mentioning in the previous answer, is that I needed to actually have some me time to try to figure out what it is that I wanted to do, because everything was becoming too overwhelming and everything was becoming I was becoming so unfocused on what it is that I wanted to do that the simple walk or the simple exercise wasn't doing it for me. And so, but in smaller cases, I feel like that's really important. I know even to now, I should still be exercising more, even if I'm not overwhelmed or unfocused, but that's completely aside the fact. But I think it's important to have the time to just either take walks or just to exercise, just so you have that mental clarity on what it is that you need to do and how you're going to actually achieve it in the time that you have, just because sometimes without that, it kind of becomes a little blurry on what it is that you want to do, because there's so many things that you want to go ahead and accomplish. And so, yeah, that's what I usually do or have been trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, it works. I recently have gotten a new dog, and it's a schnauzer, so it has a lot of energy. And if I don't walk him a couple of times each day, he's not going to let us sleep at all. So he has been the one obliging me to take walks with him every day. And yeah, I felt that definitely that was something that I was missing. And I think that in this line of work where we have to spend a lot of time with ourselves in deep in our work, very concentrated, very focused in what we are doing, it can be easy to kind of have a whole mess in the head. And we need a way to separate that.
Yeah, and it's since it's just such a creative field, and I feel like that you can get in your own head, like a lot of the times, just because I feel like when you're kind of doing something creative, you're kind of like problem solving as you go. And then so if you actually don't take the time out to kind of detach yourself from it, then it kind of becomes a little overwhelming or just unclear, because you're just like, okay, it becomes just a little bit too much. And so, yeah, I like exercising and or just taking walks, I feel like, are super important. And if it gets a little too much, then, you know, just have that me time while walking your dog.
Definitely. Yeah. And if you were to meet like a young, driven, talented student who is about to get, let's call it, into the real world, and what advice would you give that person, and what advice should they know?
What advice would I give them, and what advice should they ignore? I think it's important to actually be, that you have to stay honest, and you have to stay humble. You could be going, you could be like working on so many cool projects, and you just be like, yeah, I worked on this project. Yeah, my name is on the credits on that show because it was so cool and everything, and I've become super, super proud of it. It's easy, I would think, to kind of let that kind of go to your head just because of the achievements that you might have or anything like that. But it's super, super important to stay honest and stay humble, just because, you know, you're going to meet a lot of people that's going to be in your position now, in their position now, that are going to try to want to get to that level one day. And if you're coming off neither honest nor humble, then sometimes you're kind of almost pushing people, not pushing people away, but almost kind of like, I'm trying to think of the word. not encouraging them to actually want to go ahead and do what they want to do. So if you're actually staying honest and stay humble, then you're like, oh my gosh, this is like the nicest person. Hopefully him and I, or her and I, could get to work together one day. And then, so I feel like that in itself is super important. As for any advice they should ignore, I don't think there is any. I can't think of anything in regards to advice that you should ignore. Yeah, I don't think there is any, at least not for me. Okay. I don't understand every advice that I've been given, and I've never ignored one.
Nice to know. In the last 5 years, has there been any new belief, behavior, or any new habit that you have taken that you feel that has improved a lot on your life? It can be in a professional way, it can be on a more general way. That is up to you.
In the last 5 years?
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, a lot of things happened, let me think. Because right now it's 2019. The last 5 years. Anything that's important? Let me see. The last 5 years, what is there any new habit or behavior?
Behavior or belief, mindset that you have taken?
I've only started working professionally as a character designer for the last 5 years. And so a lot of things actually has changed. I mean, before that, I was actually at Neopets for the 5 years prior. And so the transition from that to what it is I'm doing now is a completely different mindset, because before it was more just for like online games and things like that. And so going into character design, which is something that I've originally wanted to do for the longest time, the focus on how to do the job, I feel, is so different than what it was before, that that it's important to actually just notice the details that's around you, trying to observe life and everything like that, and try to almost figure out why things are the way that they are and things like that. And then, so I know this might be completely off subject, but I usually like to try to understand why almost life is the way it is. I'm a big history person. Like when I'm either just not doing artwork, I'm always watching historical documentaries and stuff like that. And then so those are the things that I usually like to do, just because sometimes I wanted to just try to understand the history from before that hopefully will affect my work now, because sometimes if you understand why things are the way that they are now, then sometimes in more recent cases, I feel like has been more helpful. So not just like, oh, I'm gonna go to a coffee shop and just draw a bunch of people. And don't get me wrong, that's great and everything, but I feel like if you actually just do a little bit more research and everything like that, I feel like it becomes more helpful.
And also I think it adds some depth to the work that you do. So for example, I was reading the graveyard book by Neil Gaiman, and there were so many tiny details there that made me realize, like, damn, this guy really knows his history, because the setting was a graveyard. There were a lot of people who have died in many eras in England, and there were so many moments in that book in that when they were going into a character inside the graveyard that made me think, like, yeah, this guy has really made his research. I didn't have any idea that this was something that happened in that time or something like that. And I have seen that in many cases for artists, knowing their history has definitely help them to add more depth to their work. So I think that is a good point that you have wrote there. So
yeah.
And talking back to this thing where you say that you want to understand how, why things are now the way they are and things like mm-hmm. that. Coming back to that is, what opportunities or what resources are there now that they didn't exist when you started your career?
Social media. Yeah, that I feel like it's the biggest thing that I felt like wasn't before. I remember the time when I was originally trying to get into animation. I would always be carrying around a big old suitcase type of portfolio and everything like that. And then that's how you'd actually present your work, all in paper, all almost originals and stuff. And sometimes you'd have to like leave this portfolio at studios and hope that, you know, they call you back. But the fact that, you know, that there's still all the social media that's available and everything like that, that's out where you could actually just consistently post artwork, just kind of almost shows you progress. I feel like it's a huge advantage of what it used to be before. And so, yeah, I feel like that in itself is a really great way to kind of just put yourself out there as opposed to kind of almost just carrying around like a paper portfolio and hoping that you actually get a call back one day.
Yeah, definitely. I had in this interview with Brian Ayer, mm-hmm. This is a guy who has been in the industry for a long, long time. And when he was telling me, he was in New York back then, and he told me that when he was an artist pretty much and working for some magazines, they had to send some guy in a bicycle, and he was living at the sixth floor and there was no elevator. So mm-hmm. the guy had to bring his bicycle on his back all over to the stairs to get back to his house, get the work from him, then deliver that work to the client. The client will call him, making the changes. Then they will send the same guy with the bicycle again to deliver the changes that they wanted, like with the notes in the drawing and things like that. And that had to go like on and on and on. And I'm thinking like, man, like I'm so lucky that I have to send just an email now and that's it.
Yeah, it's a lot. So it's so much easier now than the way it was before. But yeah, I feel like there's a ton of room for innovation and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I feel like it's what would happen in another 10 years, we probably wouldn't have been able to imagine what it is now. You
know? Yeah, so. I think that some things are going to get like really, really crazy right now. I have started a second show, mostly interviewing business owners, especially in the tech area. Mm-hmm. And recently I talked with a girl, her name is Sarah Hill, and she's the CEO of this company that has created like a huge fusion of many things. So what they are trying to do is to set up this meditation and relaxation system where you put the goggles for virtual reality and you get pretty much into a world that you cannot control with normal controls. You actually are measuring your brain activity and your heart rate. And mm-hmm. in order to advance into that world and to modify things in that world, you need to meditate effectively. So
right.
once your heart rate gets to the right point and your brain activity gets to the right point, then things start to advance in that world. And if you start falling off and having negative thoughts and things like that, things start receding. And when I was hearing all the thesis, like, this is just a starting, like, this person right here is creating a whole system that is being controlled now by thoughts and heart rate.
And right.
this is just a starting out, like, things are going to be really insane in a couple of years. I cannot imagine how they are going to look in 10 years or 20 years from now. And I think that the creative industry is definitely going to be impacted in positive and negative waves, of course, because right. we can all remember what happened when 3D became a thing and all the traditional animators had to hit the deck. But yeah, I think that we will need to adapt a lot faster in the coming years.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be super interesting. I really wouldn't know exactly what to expect when that actually all happens. I'd be like, oh my gosh, when that actually does happen, I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And then, you know, and so, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, this is why I'm trying to interview, I saw these people, I saw all these new technologies coming up, and I feel like, as you say, how can I think of something that I do not know that exists yet or is possible yet? So I thought, okay, let's start interviewing these people who are creating these technologies to have an idea of what's coming. And yeah, I never expected that, to be honest, but it's just a few episodes in, and I'm already mm-hmm. seeing things that are blowing my mind. And the only thing I'm thinking is like, yeah, like we need to adapt fast. We need to start learning what's coming, because I think the creative industry, the animation and illustration industry, is going to be in a very interesting spot in a couple of years, and it's not going to slow down.
Interesting. Hopefully it'll actually be, you know, beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, I think, I can see ways in which is going to be amazing. And again, I'm just starting to dip my toe in those things. But on the other hand, I see how things can change into a way that some people won't like at all. But only time will tell.
Exactly.
And this is like the hardest question that I have for everybody, but I guess you know which one it is. But If you wake up tomorrow in a different dimension that's very similar to this one, you have your house, you have all your tools of the trade, you have your knowledge, your experience, but nobody knows about you, and you have no portfolio, and you only have $500 in your pocket. What do you do to get back to this point, professionally speaking, as soon as possible?
Would I've already done all my artwork already? Or
have no portfolio, but you have your knowledge, you have your skills, you have your tools.
Oh my gosh. For $500, what I would do? I mean, we're in November now. Let's just say, hypothetically, if that was the case, I would try to, I mean, with all, like, just the fact of surviving aside, like, oh, I need to eat and all this other stuff, with that all aside and just using the $500 primarily just to try to get back into my position now.
Yeah, I think I think I'm going to be modifying this question for people in California, because it's really expensive there.
Yeah, it's really expensive here. I wouldn't eat for the next 7 months and just use the $500 for like maybe a table at a convention, and say if the convention was like 6-7 months away, then I would really just kind of like buckle down and just kind of just do the best artwork I can. And in the time being, I would actually just be posting it on social networks and then just try to create some sort of presence. And then from there, after doing all that artwork, then I would actually be ready for the convention. And then from there, hopefully get back into where I am now, at least try to keep that momentum up. And then I feel like, that you can do a lot with little time. So yeah
I think I'm going to modify this question, because I have seen how things has the price of things have been spiking in California,
Yeah, really.
I made this space into a guy who lives in Spain, and he started describing all the things that he will be able to do with this $500. Right. And then we have to go into the point that, okay, yeah, in if you're outside of California, $500, you can do a lot with it.
Right, exactly.
And is there any last advice that you would like to give that we haven't talked yet into this interview yet, and do you think it's important to talk to?
Not that I can think of, no. I was actually just trying to think of, like, I don't think that there is, no. At least nothing that I could think of, because everything that I was actually either thinking of is just kind of like not drawing techniques or anything like that. It's just more just like the approach and character design. And so, but maybe that's just either like another conversation, because I'm still trying to process the difference between like TV character design and for feature, which is something hopefully I'd like to get into one day. But yeah, that's possibly another conversation.
Definitely. And if people want to find you online, where would be the best place to do so?
I have several places. I have my website, ivanmendozaart.com. There's also Instagram, which is also ivanmendozaart. And then I started posting just regular sketches on Tumblr, which is ivanmendozaart.tumblr.com. So you guys can find me there.
Awesome. I will also put all the links to social media below in the post of, in the website for this episode. So okay. I just wanted to say thanks a lot for being here. I know that you're a very busy person, so I'm really, really grateful that you have taken the time to be here and sharing your knowledge and your experience with us. It really means a lot to me.
Hey, yeah, no, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. I felt like that went by super fast.
Definitely. And if you have liked this last episode, please click the like button below. Also click the subscribe button and the notification icon. Or if you're listening in one of the podcast platform, please subscribe to our podcast to be notified when a new episode comes up. I hope that you like it. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Creative Hustler Show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, don't forget to share and subscribe. For more info, check out www.brainfreakstudio.com. See you in the next episode.